So let's read from Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse number 24. It says this: when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" And he said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From who do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." This is almost one of those things that you can hardly imagine that happened. It's so far out there. So the setting is, there is this tax, there is a temple tax. In today's terms, the people who do the research about this, they say it might be like $100 or something like that. And so it's not something small. It's not just like finding a penny on the ground or finding a dime on the ground. It's something significant. And here we have Jesus and his disciples. They're following him. They're coming into the town. And the people that collect this tax, they ask Peter about this. "How about you and Jesus? You going to pay or you're not going to pay?" And so Jesus has an answer for them. Now, this, again, we kind of have to step back for a minute, and you know, we hear the story so often, sometimes it becomes very commonplace to us, but it's good to sometimes just slow down a little bit, think about the reality of what's happening here, and the fascinating thing that Jesus is doing here. And the closeness with God, the ability to know little things like this, is just incredible. And these parts of Jesus' life that are recorded for us, they're not here just to tease us and to say, "Look what Jesus could do," but you could never be that close to God. These are recorded, as the Bible says, as an example for us. Now, I grant you, it is hard to imagine. It's hard to fathom that we would have knowledge like this. But the Bible does tell us that Jesus actually said, "You'll do greater things than me." So we can either look at what Jesus did in his life and strive for it, or we can give up and say, "That'll never be me." And even if we don't get anywhere near this, we should strive to be closer to God, to do the things that Jesus did. And so some people, they actually say, "Well, greater works than Jesus, I don't know about that." Well, I say, well, even the works that Jesus did, that's good enough for me. Even the works that Jesus did, that would be great. We can't just limit ourselves and say, "That's never going to happen. That can happen." Well, if we actually have that, if we say that, then that's probably what will happen. It won't ever happen. If we have faith to not believe, then of course it's not going to happen. But we have to lift our vision higher. Lift our vision higher to say there is more out there. There is more in God for us. There is more in God for us. And so we strive for it. Of course, now Jesus is confronted with this. And the amazing thing, I don't know if you caught that, but it says that that this conversation with the person who collects the temple tax, it actually happened with Peter and not Jesus there. But when Peter walks into the house, the Bible tells us that Jesus anticipated what he was going to say. Jesus anticipated him. Jesus knew what he was going to talk about. Jesus knew what he was going to say. He knew the conversation that he was going to have with him. This is such a level of closeness with God that God would reveal the very thoughts that are in the mind of others. And Jesus did that. And this wasn't the only time that Jesus did that. There are other parts of the Bible where it says that Jesus answered them just based on the thoughts of their heart, just based on the things that they were discussing in secret. And Jesus knew. So fascinating. Fascinating. The Bible actually, we can even liken it to that word of knowledge that the Bible says is a gift of the Spirit. That word of knowledge, the Bible tells us that it is a gift. It's not beyond the possibilities. And one of the things we could draw comfort from is the all-knowing God that we serve. He is all-knowing. To be able to come up with this as the solution, he is all-knowing. And we should take comfort in the fact that God is all-knowing. He is all-understanding. And sometimes we wonder, is God really interested in the problems that I have? Does God see the things that I'm going through? Does God know all the details? Does he realize the little talk that's going on behind the scenes? Does he really realize the motives of the heart of those that are opposing? Does he really realize the struggle that I'm having? Does he really realize the lack of finances that I have? Does he really realize how much time I have to fix the situation? Does he really realize? And this part of the life of Jesus should tell us without a doubt, he not only sees all the little details, he understands how to bring us through them as well. The way I look at this, and it might be just a simplistic view, there are at least two ways that this coin got in the fish's mouth. Either somebody lost the coin and the fish really swallowed it, or Jesus made it miraculously appear. And either way is incredible. Either way is fascinating. Either way requires a God that's so big, that is so incredible, that he deserves our worship. Either way. Think about what's involved in this. He tells Peter, go catch a fish, and you'll find a coin in his mouth. So what's involved in that?
I just step back. My mind sometimes goes to this analytical part, kicks in, and I think about, okay, so if Peter just goes to the shore, Jesus doesn't tell him where to fish, he doesn't tell him anything, he just go fish. So now Jesus needs to understand where Peter's going to fish. He needs to know the spot that he's going to fish. Because somewhere out there, there's a fish that has a coin in its mouth. So he needs to know. So Peter just can't go fish, you know, downstream. Jesus needs to know where he's going to fish. And then he needs to know how far he's going to cast his line into the sea. He needs to know how far down in the sea that line is going to sink. Jesus needs to know the exact moment that this one special fish is going to swim by. Jesus needs to know that the coin is in that fish's mouth. among all the fish. And let's assume there's more than just one or two fish in the sea. So of all the fish in the sea, Jesus can see that one fish that has the coin. And he knows where Peter is going to be. And he knows how far he's going to cast his line. And he knows that the fish is going to be swimming by. And he knows how long it's going to take Peter to get to the shore. And he knows how long it's going to take Peter to set up. And he knows all these details. It is an incredible miracle that Jesus is performing here. It is an absolutely incredible display of his ability to know everything. It's absolutely incredible when you think about it. What it would take for Jesus to pick out this one fish that's swimming in the sea and is swallowed the coin. Fascinating. And now we think about, what does Jesus know about my problems? What does Jesus know about my situation? Does Jesus care? Does he understand? Does he see? Does he know? Does he realize the pain that I'm going through? Does he realize how difficult this situation is? Does he realize how long I've been in this place? Does he realize that I've been crying out to him? Does he realize all of these things? And this part of his life tells me, yes, he does. Not only does he realize all those things, but he cares about all those things. Not only does he understand all the little things going on, and he displays that he understands them to a level of detail that is beyond almost our comprehension. To be able to pick out one fish among the sea that has this and know all the details about a fish's life. And even the fact that the fish has a coin that is just enough to pay the temple tax. The more you think about it, the more fascinating this becomes. And the more comforting it becomes as well. And you think that there's the other part of the Bible which says that God knows and has his eye on the sparrow, and not one sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing it. And yet, we're so much more important than the sparrows. This is another one of those examples where he knows exactly what's going on with some insignificant little fish. And yet for us, he knows about us. He knows about us in even greater. Well, maybe it's the same detail because there is no greater or less with God. But he cares about us more. He died for us. He didn't die for the fish. He died for us. And here we have him. And we are more important to him than the sparrows. We are more important to him than the fish. And yet he knows all these details about them. He knows when one falls to the ground. And he even knows when one swims by that has a coin in its mouth. He knows what we are going through. There is actually a name for God. And I probably don't have the... I probably won't say the name right, but I say Eloi, Roi. It's one of those Hebrew names which gives us the character of God. And in that it says, it's translated the God who sees. It's translated the God who sees, which is given to him as a name, and his name describes his character. And he is the God who sees. He sees it all. He understands it all. He has a comprehension of it all. And he has a solution for it all. And that's who he is. He is the God who
who sees. When we think he doesn't see, when we think that he is silent, and sometimes we do have those thoughts come into our minds and we say, well, I'm not sure he's really understanding what's going on. I'm not sure he's really interested. I'm not sure he really cares about all the things I'm going through. But yet his name tells us he is the God who sees. He is the God who sees. He is a God of love.
A God who cares for us. And a God who sees what we are going through. He tells us, he shows us in this example that all details are important to him. There's not a detail that is left out in his plan. He understands even the minutest detail. If he could pick out, one fish out of a sea, he could certainly understand the details, the ins and the outs of every situation that we have. If he could
know that somebody lost a coin somewhere and some fish just happened to be swimming by when the coin fell, and then all of a sudden the fish picked it up and kept it in his mouth. If he could do all that, he certainly knows all the details of our issues. He is an amazing God. He is concerned about our issues, and he also shows us that he knows angles around our problems that we can never imagine. If when confronted with the temple tax, Peter thought, well, you know, one valid solution is, you know, I can work for a couple of days, and you know, then I can make enough money, and then we can, you know, pay this tax. And I know there are many people who claim that Jesus was very wealthy. You'll hear that preached. I don't know too much about all of that, but I do know that Jesus needed to go find money for the tax and some fish. He didn't just pull out the $100 or the coin and say, here it is, I have so much, it's in excess. But that's another matter. I'm not saying that we're supposed, I don't believe the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be poor. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to have enough for ourselves and enough to give to others as well. The Bible tells us that. But if Peter, when confronted with that temple tax, said, you know, I think I'm going to go fishing. And I think that's where my money's going to come from. It probably wouldn't happen that way. And it probably didn't happen that way. But for Jesus, he knows angles around our issues that we can't even imagine. He knows solutions that we can't even comprehend. He knows. Because he's God. And he's all-knowing. And sometimes we worry about all the things that are happening to us, the things that we can't control. Does God really say? Did you ever watch any of those? When I was younger, I used to watch some of those judge shows on TV, and it seems to me that the judge was always confronted with was a defendant and a plaintiff, and somebody was always lying. Somebody was always not telling the truth. Somebody was always stretching the truth or just completely ignoring the truth and telling a different story. And so now the judge hears this story, he hears this story, and now he has to decide which one is true. With Jesus, it's not the case because he knows it all. He knows it all. He knows what's being said about you. He knows the plans that are going on behind the scenes. He knows the politics that are happening at the office. He knows all of those things, and he is the righteous judge. He will take care of it all. He understands. He's not limited by which story sounds good. He knows. The Bible even tells us in Psalm 139 that he knows our thoughts from afar off. He knows the motives of the heart. He knows the thoughts that are going to be said. He knew what Peter was going to come to him with. He knew the problem. Just like he knows the problems that we go through too.
He knows all the things that are happening in this world.
He knows all the things much better than we do. And isn't it great that He is on our side? Now, this also could come make us a little uncomfortable
as well, because it also means that God knows about you. And He knows about what's going on in your mind, and He knows about what's going on in your heart, and He knows about the motives that are going on in
yourself too. It makes us live in the fear of the Lord, actually, if we realize how much God knows about us. But He knows not only about us, He knows about others. And this is part of the reason, I think, that we can leave God to deal with some of the things that are outside of our control.
He tells us in Hebrews that vengeance is His. And that seems to be the right place, because He knows it all. He knows all the things that are going on. We might just think we understand. I've heard many people tell many stories in my days, sat with so many people, and almost in every single case, the story is different when you hear one side, when you hear the other side. When you hear both sides of the story told independently of each other, but one side always makes themselves look good. And then the other side always makes themselves look good. And somewhere in the middle, almost always, is the truth.
Jesus knows the truth. Jesus knows what the reality is. He knows what's going on both sides. And He says, let me take care of the situation. He knows what is fair. He knows what is good. He knows what is right. He knows what is just.
Jesus was going to perform this great of a miracle, why doesn't He just make the coin appear on the ground next to Peter? If He's going to make... Do you
understand what I'm saying?
If Jesus is going to perform so great a miracle that He understands where the fish is, He understands that the fish is swallowed, He understands that Peter's going to go fish, He's going to understand that the first one that comes up, He's going to have it in His mouth, He understands all that stuff, why doesn't He just make the coin appear when Peter... Why don't He just tell Peter, walk out of the room, look to the left, and you'll see a coin on the floor? That would be so much easier.
That would be so much easier.
Peter, look in your pocket. There's going to be a coin there.
Peter, look behind you. There's a coin underneath the cup.
That would be so much easier. Sometimes,
I believe God just wants us to do some work and be part of it.
He doesn't make it so easy that there's no work involved. God cooperates with us. He wants us to work with Him. So instead of just making a coin appear, He asks Peter to go through all of these steps. It must have taken Peter some amount of time. It must have taken Peter some time to get his fishing supplies, walk to the shore, throw the thing out there, pull the thing up. Maybe his hands got a little messy because now he has to grab a fish, take a fish up, and there might have been some dirtiness involved in it. He had to get his hands a little bit involved in the situation.
And sometimes God wants us to do the same thing.
God will do the part that only He can do, but He wants us to also be involved. He doesn't say, just sit back and let the miracles happen. He says, be a part of what I am doing in this world. Be a part of the solution.
And what it does is it tests our
obedience. It tests our faith. It tests us in the process. Will we Will we obey, or will we say, nah, it doesn't seem like this is going to work.
It doesn't seem like this is a great idea.
How can this possibly work? And there is probably plenty of time for Peter as he's gathering his stuff. And, I mean, can you imagine what Peter's going through? What kind of crazy plan is this? I'm going to go fishing, and this is how we're going to pay for a tax. I'm going to find a coin. And there's probably plenty of opportunity for Peter to say, this doesn't sound right. There has to be another way.
And if Peter didn't say that, we would probably say that.
If Jesus told you, go fish Lake Michigan, find something, and that's going to pay your property tax, how many of you would run to go get your fishing gear? Probably not many.
There's plenty of opportunity for Peter to say no. No. Just like there's plenty of opportunity for us to say, no, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think I'm going to go down that route. I think there's another plan. I think there's another way. I think there has to be another method. Would the worship team come on up? There might have been plenty of opportunity for Peter to grumble. There's plenty of opportunity for Peter to doubt. There was plenty of opportunity for people for Peter to turn back and say, this plan is not working. In our lives, there's also that case. There's also that place where we could grumble about it. We could turn back. We could doubt. We could stop.
Shows how much faith Peter had in Jesus, and it shows how much trust Peter had in Jesus that he followed through with this. What looks like an impossible plan.
Peter follows through, and his answer comes. And so now we look at our lives and we say, what is the problem that I have that looks so difficult that I cannot find an answer to? And Jesus' example says, there's a fish out there. There's a fish out there. There's a fish that has your answer, and it's probably in a place that you did not think it would come from. If you thought it was a fish, that's the way God works consistently. As you read the Bible, and we know the story so often, and so many times we think they become normal, then when we look back and we say, this is not normal at all. And then these are written for our example, that we say, this is the way God works. He works in places that we don't often think of. There is a fish out there that has our answer. There is a fish that has the answer in its mouth. But maybe we have to get a little dirty. Maybe we have to be part of the plan. Maybe we have to get involved in order to see that answer come to be in our life. And the question is, will we follow God? Will we do what He says to do? Will we go where He says to go and do what He says to do? That we might see the answers in places that we would have never imagined. His name be praised.